Hi, I'm Willow Belden.
I'm Becky Jensen.
And I'm Angus Chen.
You're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. This is our advice segment, Dear Nature, where we use wisdom from the outdoors to help sort out your most pressing personal questions. So before we get started today, I have a favor to ask. We're deciding whether or not to keep producing Dear Nature, and we would like your input. We put together a brief survey where you can tell us what you think about the segment. You can find the survey at our website, outtherepodcast.com. It'll only take you about a minute to fill out, and when you complete it, we'll enter you into a drawing for some sweet Out There swag. Again, that's at outtherepodcast.com. Okay, so on to business. Becky, Angus, what's new in your lives?
Not too much, I guess. I'm trying to plan a bunch of trips. I'm gonna be traveling a lot this fall. My friends and I, and my brother and I are trying to go to Cabo, Mexico. Maybe next month for a little bit, and then I'm booking some tickets, or I just booked some tickets to go to California. My brother and I and some of our friends are going to go to the Big Sur and camp there and surf some of the little hidden surf breaks around the park. And
sounds lovely.
Yeah. And, you know, just work as usual, same boring stuff as everyone else. What about you?
Oh, I'm going to go next week. I'm going backpacking in the San Juan Mountains of Colorado.
That is maybe one of my most favorite places on the planet.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. We're going to check out ice lakes, which is, it's like this glacial, unreal color of water with a little, there's one that has like a little island in the middle. And yeah, so I'm super.
Oh, I feel like I've seen pictures of this in like REI ads or,
exactly,
you know, Patagonia ads.
Right. Like on that. Calendars. It is calendar.
Yeah, on calendars, right.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm also trying to plan a vacation, although I feel like, so I was supposed to go up to my family's cabin in Maine earlier this summer, and then that got derailed because I had a mountain bike wreck and got a concussion. And so then I was like, all right, well, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go somewhere closer by. So I was starting to put together a trip up to Montana, you know, go up to Glacier National Park and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But Montana's on fire now, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe the universe is just saying, don't go on vacation this summer. Like, that might be happening.
I'm just telling you to pivot. Just keep pivoting.
We'll see. I'll get something figured out, I suppose. But anyway, let's get on to our question today. This one comes from a listener who I'm going to call Feeling Stuck. And here's what this person has to say. I find myself feeling very stuck at the moment. I've never been very adventurous or a go-getter, and I've often wondered if those qualities, which I admire, are just inherent to some people and not others, or if there's a way for me to gain those qualities too. I had clinical anxiety that I was able to handle with professional help, and I thought once I got that in order, I'd finally be able to find the motivation to go out in the world and make things happen, take a more active role in my life. While I'm happy to say my mental health has greatly improved, I still haven't found that motivation. I find that as I reach the end of my 20s, time keeps passing, and any ideas I have about starting a new path never seem to materialize. I don't have a very specific life path in mind, but I would like to start by feeling that I'm in the driver's seat and actually have the internal fuel to make things happen. Any fixes from nature you can offer? So that's what we have from Feeling Stuck. It kind of seems to me like we have two main questions going on here. One, is it possible to gain qualities that you don't already have? And two, if so, how do you gain them? So maybe let's start with that first one.
Yeah, in answer to that first question, is there a way to gain adventurous go-getter qualities. The neuroscience says yes, which is really exciting to me. And there's this thing called neuroplasticity, and it's your brain's ability to rewire and kind of reorganize itself through experience and learning. And research shows that you can form new neural connections throughout your entire life. And there's a Stanford University psychologist, her name is Carol Dweck, and she has this great book out on the subject called Mindset. And the basic idea is that some people have a fixed mindset, like the belief that your abilities are carved in stone, and kind of the people that say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But Dweck's research shows that people with a growth mindset embrace challenges, they learn from mistakes, they see their efforts as a path to mastering a skill, learning new things. And so with the right focus and repetition, the idea behind neuroplasticity is that brains can rewire themselves. They can rewire to enhance or add pathways that result in new skills and new knowledge and in new habits. So in other words, you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting because I actually think I have experienced this recently, you know, in the last couple of years. So I used to have a really intense fear of heights, like the level of fear of heights where I would be just like clinging to a mountainside in tears, unable, like just totally paralyzed because I was so scared. And I knew it was an irrational fear. You know, I could be in a place where I was totally safe and still just be terrified. But it kind of sucks, you know, it's like not very fun to have that much of a fear of heights.
Yeah.
And so, but then a few years, and I just assumed this was always going to be the case. Like I, you know, it was just something I was going to have to deal with for my entire life. But then a few years ago, I started rock climbing, which was something that I hadn't ever had any interest in doing because it seemed like a bad thing for somebody with a fear of heights to do. But a friend got,
or maybe the perfect thing for someone with a fear of heights to do, right?
Well, and that's what it turned out to be, the perfect thing, because what ended up happening is, you know, I started noticing that as I gained more confidence climbing, the fear of heights became less, which sort of makes sense. You know, exposure therapy, once you do something enough and it kind of becomes less scary. But what was really interesting was that last fall, I went on a hike in Colorado, which I had done a few years earlier. So I had done this hike before I started rock climbing. And when I did it earlier, I got to this point on the hike that just was absolutely terrifying to me. And I didn't go past that. And I was just like, I'm never going past this point. This is so scary. This is never going to be for me. And so last fall, I went on the same hike and I got to that same spot. And not only was I not afraid, but I couldn't understand why I had been afraid before. It just was so like, which was super surprising to me because, you know, I had expected to be less afraid, but I did not expect it to be so different that I just like couldn't fathom why I had been afraid in the first place. So I don't know, this neuroplasticity in action. My brain has rewired itself.
I believe it, Willow. I mean, it seems like the science backs it up too, which gives me hope for all of those other little things that I might have fears about, or that feeling stuck has fears about, like that it works.
Okay, so we have established it is possible to change how you operate.
Yay!
So that's the first question. Good news. So kind of onto the harder part here. So how do you actually get started with that? How do you put yourself in the driver's seat? How do you find that motivation that you're looking for? Because that's really what feeling stuck is asking.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, well, actually, I think that it doesn't I don't think you really need the motivation. I've always been kind of a person who's chased adrenaline and looked for novel experiences, and I've done a lot of really dumb things in the name of adventure. I'm not really sure if I would describe myself as like someone who's really adventurous, because there's always this part of me that doesn't really want to do anything. It's this part of me that says, you know, what's the point of doing this? You know, you should just stay home and stick to what you know. And if I'm honest, this is a big part of me. I sort of feel it every day when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, you know?
Well, it's funny because we look on the outside at you and think, here's this guy who gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and goes surfing. And he's planning.
Before work.
Right. And you seem so ultra motivated to people looking at
you. Yeah, I know. I did that this week. You know, I feel that. I feel this way even at 5 in the morning when I'm getting up. I think it's especially strong at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, I call it being in the murk. It's just like this super thick sort of noxious thing that just envelops you every morning.
It's a great description.
And
your mornings sound so lovely, Angus.
Yeah.
No, they're terrible. I'm definitely not a morning person. But I just kind of very mechanically get myself out of bed. You know, I check the time, I check the train schedule. It's just things that just sort of doing a very basic routine that I know I need to do to get myself out to the beach. And I don't particularly want to do any of these things. What I really want to do at that time is go back to sleep. But in theory, I know that getting to the beach and surfing is going to be good. It's like going to be awesome. And for me, it's just about going through the motions of what I'm supposed to do to get my body out there. And I know this doesn't sound particularly motivational. It's not really meant to. But I think it's really real. It's like, this is literally how I live my life, and it's how I've discovered a lot of really important things to me, like surfing.
It's just by forcing yourself to do things.
Yeah, it's just by forcing myself to do stuff that I don't particularly want to do, and it's not easy, but I think it's what you have to do to survive in the murk, if that's where you are.
But you were just saying that like that actually this process of just kind of going through the motions, like making yourself go through the motions, is how you discovered surfing, which has become actually a big passion, which you are motivated to do.
Yeah, so a couple years ago I left supposedly a really great place to work in a pretty bad condition. The short version is just that, like, I completely screwed myself over by working just obsessively for years, and I just didn't want to do anything anymore. I didn't really feel like working. I didn't feel like just doing anything, really. I kind of just like wanted to stay at home and do drugs. It's like kind of how I felt at the time. I'm serious. There was just this part of me that was like, well, I have to do something with myself. I can't just sit here and do nothing, because, you know, I'll just like waste away. A friend of mine sort of just like, well, okay, the real story is he didn't start rock climbing, but he had a girlfriend who really liked rock climbing, and then he like wrote me into it. And rock climbing was not something I ever thought about doing. Like, not something I was like, oh, this sounds really cool, you know? But I was like, okay, well, in theory, people really like doing this, so whatever.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll try it. Indoor rock climbing, you know, it is hard, but it gives you this little sip of exhilaration and this sort of little sense of accomplishment every time you finish a problem. And I kept going back for that, and it just made me feel really good. Like, I just, even though at first I was like, okay, I'm just going to go and do this, it started to be something that every time I did do, I walked away feeling like, oh, this is something that actually makes me feel like pretty good, and something that I started to want to do. It gave me this sort of new drive to start exploring things again. And My brother has surfed for a really long time, and this is also something I'd heard multiple times from him that is like the best thing ever. And as it turned out, surfing is the greatest thing on the planet that you can do with yourself. So I was just like hooked the minute I caught my first wave. These things just became a guiding star in my life, and it was like, how can I live so that I can surf more, basically. And because I created this thing for myself, it felt like pieces of my life were falling into place, like creating this foundation that I could then focus on other goals that I had for myself. Like I could get back into the goals I had for my career. Basically what I'm saying is it's not easy to sort of put these things in place. It takes a lot of like sort of iron effort,
willpower,
almost emotionless effort to start putting stuff into these sort of good things for yourself in place. You've already done one of those things, feeling stuck, which is putting your mental health in place, and I think
that's really important.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think now what you got to do is just pick something, anything that seems worthwhile and is going to be a little bit challenging for you, and just do it. It doesn't matter if you've don't feel motivation to do it, just, you know, with this mechanical inertia of an automaton, march yourself into doing it, you know?
And then if it's no good, move on to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. The point is just to take risks, you know, to hazard your time, to experience these things, just to try.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, I agree that sometimes you have to just do something. You know, and like Angus, I never feel motivated to jump out of bed at 4 or 5 a.m. to go hiking. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you've got to throw back the covers. You know, you got to climb out of what's comfortable and take that first step.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the first step is often the hardest.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
So, okay, but I do have to push back here a little bit because I totally agree with what you've said, Angus, but I also am not convinced that it's always enough just to force yourself to try new things. Like, I think sometimes you get to a place where you are so stuck that you need more than that, and you need to, like, almost push a reset button on your whole life in order to get ahead. So, I mean, several years ago, looking back for me, I was in a rut. And had been for a while. I was sort of on autopilot with my career, but I was feeling kind of numb about it, and it sort of felt like life was happening to me rather than me calling the shots. And I was doing the things that you're recommending, Angus. I was trying new things. I was pushing myself. I had picked up cross-country skiing in a big way. I was learning to mountain bike. I was doing these new things, and I enjoyed them, but they weren't enough to pull me out of the overall rut that I was in. And so for me, I ended up needing to get away from everything and everyone and just really shake up my life in order to get out of that rut, which for me, you know, you guys have heard this before. That took the form of a 5-week backpacking trip through Colorado, which I won't go into all the details there. But by the end of that hike, I still hadn't quite figured out what I wanted to do with my life, but I felt in control again, and I felt excited about things. So, you know, I guess this is just like, yes, try new things, absolutely, but I also think it's worth realizing that it's okay if you need more than that. Like, it's okay if you need to do something that totally uproots life as you know it and shakes things up in order to get unstuck.
I'm right there with you, Willow. You know, I was also in a major life rut. I mean, it was like career, relationship, finances, health, you name it. And the little fixes were not helping me. They just absolutely were not enough. And so just like you, I prescribed this unplugged 500-mile solo hike through the wilderness. It was like this tough love cure for everything that ailed me. And eventually, that was what finally made me get my motivation back.
So what was it about this hiking trip that made you feel like that was what you really needed? I mean, why was this different from all the other things?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Willow and I both did that at different times in our lives. And it,
coincidentally, we didn't know each other at the time.
Absolutely. For me, the mountains have always been a healing place, but they are also they're physically and mentally challenging to me as well. And I knew that I needed something really big and difficult and long lasting to snap me out of this fixed mindset that I was in, this mindset that I was a victim in my life. You know, like Willow said, like you said earlier, it was like life was happening to me. And nothing makes you feel like you're in the driver's seat more than planning an adventure, a really, really big adventure, and then following through.
It's true.
It builds confidence. It does. And I really feel like it rewired me.
It builds confidence and it builds passion. You know, I remember, this sounds kind of cheesy, but I remember after I had gotten off the trail, I'd gotten home, and a few days later, I remember dancing around in my kitchen while I was chopping up kale for dinner. And because
kale.
I just felt, anyway, that's what I happened to be like chopping up. But anyway, but I just felt so high on life. You know, and before the hike, I felt the world had seemed a little bit, you know, it had been like everything seemed tiring and everything seemed a little bit claustrophobic. And now it was just like, oh, the world is this wonderful place that's just full of exciting possibilities. And, you know, I don't know exactly why. To answer your question, Angus, like, I don't know exactly what it was about such a big thing that made this happen, but I do know that I felt very viscerally, and it turned out to be true, that what I needed at that point I needed a total reset. I didn't need to just pick up new hobbies and try new things. I needed to really just kind of shake up everything for a little while.
Amen to that.
That makes sense to me. I mean, have you ever noticed that every time you move, you get a bunch of ads in the mail being like, hey, you should try buying from us. you know what I'm talking about?
I just moved. I feel this pain.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a reason why companies do that. They like try to figure out when people are moving, and they send them a ton of stuff being like, look at all these things that you could buy. And like, look at all these new habits you could form, like buying from us instead of buying from whoever you used to buy from. And the reason, presumably, is because you're more susceptible to changing your habits and changing the way you do things or think when you're in a time of big change. I mean, when you're sort of in a sort of a chaotic, kind of tumultuous point in your life. And so, you know, like this idea of putting yourself in a really extreme sort of novel kind of environment, or sort of trying to reset something, makes sense. You know, that you could kind of put yourself in an environment that is going to be conducive to changing a pattern that you have.
That's super interesting. Final thoughts. We've gone through a lot of stuff here. Any last words?
Yeah, I've said this before in past episodes, but I think it bears repeating. Just feeling stuck, be gentle with yourself. You know, rewiring your brain can take a while, and just getting up the gumption to take that first step is a big deal. So just be gentle with yourself.
Despite all of our talk about forcing yourself to do things,
I know.
You also should be gentle with yourself.
I know. It's hard, though.
Yeah, I think it is going to be hard. Like, changing any kind of pattern is really difficult. You know, don't be discouraged because you feel like, oh, this isn't working. Or like, you know, this is just so difficult. And the other thing I would say is, you know, if you really want something that's going to make you feel good, you should just go surf. Like, I don't know. It's like, there's nothing better. Like, I can't think of a single thing that would be more worthwhile to spending your limited time on Earth doing than surfing a wave. So.
Well, but I mean, I feel like there, you know, we all have that thing. Like for you, Angus, it's surfing. For me, I feel like those things are maybe rock climbing in the summer and cross-country skiing in the winter, which both, I think, bring that sense of exhilaration and that sense of like, oh my gosh, life is the best right now.
Yeah, everybody has their surfing.
Everybody has their surfing.
You just have to, sometimes it just takes a little longer to find it. You know, Elizabeth Gilbert had a really good point. She had said that she used to talk and give this motivational speech to people, and she would talk about following your passion, following your passion. And what she found is that for some people, that was really discouraging because they tried and tried and did not know what their passion was. And so she changed her tune a bit, and she said, there are some people who really know what their passion is, and they're strongly motivated to go after it, and they're like a jackhammer. And there are other people who are curious, and they're like a hummingbird that kind of flits from flower to flower, kind of sipping the nectar of all these different things that interest them throughout their lives. And so you don't always have to be the jackhammer following a passion and having that super strong focused motivation, that you can instead be that hummingbird who explores their curiosity.
I love that.
Yeah, takes the pressure off.
Well, good luck feeling stuck. I hope you find your motivation. I hope you find your passion. I hope you find your dreams, and I hope you have some fun along the way.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sending your question.
If you'd like to ask a question of your own, just shoot me an email. My email address is willow@outtherepodcast.com. Also, just a heads up, we'll be taking a break from the advice segment next month. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're evaluating whether to keep producing Dear Nature, and if so, what to change about it. So head over to outtherepodcast.com to take our survey and let us know what you think of the segment. Your input will help us determine the future of Dear Nature. A big thank you to Tony Pitts, Brian Marius, and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. You can make a gift of your own at our website, outtherepodcast.com. Just click support. That's it for this episode. Our advice columnists are Becky Jensen and Angus Chen. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.